All right. Ephesians chapter 4. Something's on my heart this morning I would like to share. And go to Ephesians chapter 4. From time to time, it is very necessary for me to get reoriented. Recently, I preached a couple messages in Sunday evening on counseling the pastor. And I did that because I needed some counsel. And so I was working on counseling myself, getting myself reoriented, understanding my role, what has God called me to, and just needed some just reassurance in that direction. And so so I did that. But so there's time to time, it's important for us to be reminded to be reoriented as a church and as a fellowship. And who are we? What are we about? What are we to be doing? I mean, these are real life questions that we ask personally, and we need to understand as a church as well. When we get together and do things such as last night doing this banquet that we did, you know, why are we doing those kinds of things? You know, and these are good questions to ask, and so that we understand as we go forth together, we understand what God's plan and will is for us. I'm a land surveyor by trade. Now, I wasn't licensed, but I worked under a licensed land surveyor down in Pennsylvania before I became a pastor. You would think that I would be pretty good with sense of direction, but I am not. Do not ask me to get you from one place to another. Now, I can give directions, but I cannot get you there if you ask me to do that. The deacons can amen that because I got them lost on a visit once because my GPS stopped working.
Oh, boy.
That was one of the greatest gifts I ever received. I was 20 miles out of the way. Oh, I got lost on a progressive dinner one time. I had a whole van full of people. Oh, it's been horrible. You know, so you can really easily lose your way. And it's important to know how you're oriented when you're doing it. In land surveying, I was telling you, whenever we did a survey job, we would have to begin the job, and without going into all the details of land surveying, there's a coordinate system that you're working on. So every point across the globe has a coordinate. And so you would have to orient yourself where you were in the coordinate system, in that grid. And you did that by orienting yourself towards north. And of course, if you don't understand, you know that there is magnetic north, and then there is also true north. And so if you really wanted to be right, you found magnetic north, and then there's a certain amount of degrees you moved to get the true north. That was a pretty important part of the surveying job. Because if I showed up at the office with all of this, with the handheld computer that had all the data that I inputted that day from my work, and they put it in there, and here the job was in Africa, showing up with their computer, rather than in Pennsylvania, where it was supposed to be, is a big problem. We need to be oriented as a fellowship on who we are. And I love Ephesians 4 because it is so very helpful for me to understanding who we are and what we are to be about. Now, I'm going to begin in verse 1 of the chapter, but we're going to focus on some verses later in the chapter. But just to gain context, we read, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that is descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Did you see yourself there? Did you see the church there? When people ask me about my philosophy of ministry, and by that basically what I mean is, what is it that is my compass for what I do that gives me direction? What I normally will say is, I boil it down to these things. We are, as a church, to be about the edification of the saints, so that the saints can evangelize the world. Okay? It's two E's, so that simplifies it for me. It helps me. We edify the saints so we can evangelize the world. So if nothing else out of this message, won't you keep in mind that as a church, we are about building one another up, not so that we can feel good about ourselves, not so that we are more wealthy, or even in a better place, or always healthy, always just appear like we have everything together because we take such good care of each other. No. It's because we build up one another so that this world will be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that this world will be evangelized. That is the proclaiming of good news. Do you know what the good news is? Do you have good news to tell? That's a fair question for a crowd this size. Because very likely, some may be here, that you've come to church and maybe you've gone to church for years, but you walk away and you don't have any good news to tell anybody. And that's because you don't know the Savior. You don't know the gospel. Now, hopefully, when you leave this place, you do at least have heard the good news of Jesus. Because this is our mission, to build up the body of Christ, and I am to equip you so that you understand what the good news is, so that you can go out there, so that we can go out there and make sure other people hear that good news and their lives are changed forever. Right? So do you know the good news? Well, Apostle Paul proclaimed the good news to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I want you to see that. Because if you ever have a doubt, what am I to talk about as a Christian with somebody who doesn't know Jesus? I want you to understand it is not overly complicated. You need to know this. And I know many of you here, this is going to be repetition. You've already heard these kinds of things before, but you know what? It's always good to be reminded. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Gospel, you see gospel, think good news. "Which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." Hopefully this is true of each and every one of you. "By which also you are saved." Notice, does that answer your question? What am I to tell somebody if I want them to be saved? This is how you're saved. You know this. "By which you also you are saved." The good news. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain or without a cause or purpose. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ," listen, "how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and after that seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this day, but some have fallen asleep, or some have died. And after that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time." What is the good news that you have to proclaim? It is Christ has died for our sins. It was a purposed plan of God to pay for sin. Christ died for our sins. Make sure you catch that. People need to understand sin. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried and rose again the third day. He's alive. He's alive. You realize, don't you, that you remove the resurrection of Jesus Christ from Christianity, and Christianity falls. It falls. But praise be to God, we know it's true that Jesus rose again. And because Jesus rose again, we know that we too will rise again to be with him one day. You notice that Paul writes that people saw him after he arose. That's purposefully put there. So there is testimony. The risen Lord was seen. So this is the good news. Back in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, we see that God has given much to the church. He has given gifts and gifted people, shall I say. We have in this list apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Apostles, they were the foundation of the church. Wonderful gifts of God. Men who walked and talked with the Lord Jesus, were sent by the Lord Jesus himself, became the foundation of the early church. The prophets are those that have proclaimed God's truth. The evangelists are those that have the inward capacity and giftedness to proclaim the good news. And that is what they are about. And, you know, it's exciting to look at a church and to see the evangelists at work. And there are people in this fellowship that I said, you're evangelists. Because you're always hearing from them testimonies of how God is using them in proclaiming the gospel. And it is such a blessing and an encouragement to the body of Christ. Then you see pastors and teachers. These are the ones who shepherd and the flock and feed the flock of God. And when they feed the flock of God, you make sure that the flock is receiving doctrine, is receiving the meat of the Scriptures. The Scriptures provide the nourishment for the flock. So that's why we spend time in the Word of God. That's, in fact, if you were at our little banquet thing last night, you know what? That's why I took time to do a little devotional. That's why I like to see our youth events have some time in the Word. Because that's what is eternally enriching and nourishing for you as an individual, for us as people, is the Scriptures and the Word of God. And God gives the church people, pastors and teachers, who are able to do that, who are equipped to do that, gifted to do that. And praise be to God that He does that and He places those people in our lives and in our churches. We notice in verse 12 that why is this taking place? Why does God give these individuals with these giftedness, these abilities, why does He do that? And this is where it is very clear what we are about. In verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. This idea of a completing. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, see, notice here, it says for the perfecting of the saints. So take that phrase, you have the saints. Who are saints? Anybody saints here? Everybody that is saved is a saint. Okay? A saint, by very definition, is one who has been set apart. Saint comes from the same root word of holy. All right? So you've been made holy ones through the blood of Jesus Christ. So you see saints in the Scriptures, you need to realize that. Oh, that's me. It doesn't mean you have gray hair. But it could. Or no hair at all. Amen. Well, so the body of Christ, we have saints in this place and people who know Jesus Christ. And so if there are saints in this place, it says though these saints need perfecting. The saints who have been saved by the Lord Jesus, we need to grow. We need, and as we read, the context tells us we are growing into the likeness of Jesus Christ. How many of you there yet? Yeah. Isn't that interesting? When we get saved, it's not this immediate transformation to Mr. Holy Joe, right? And everything's not easy, is it? No. But you see, what we're talking here about, what are we all about here as a church? We are all saints on a journey. On this road to be more like Christ. And such a message like this needs to remind us that is true. And remind us we're on that journey together. And reminds me of my role of being faithful in the ministry of the Word of God, because that is what is going to be helping you, not because of me, but the Word of God is what's going to help us to become more like the Lord Jesus. So we realize that there are saints who need perfecting. We realize, verse 12, that there is a ministry that needs working. for the work of the ministry, it says. We can use ministry in that term for all kinds of different things. But what is a ministry? What are we talking about here? When we say somebody goes into the ministry, what does that mean? I think in our core, what we mean by that is we mean that somebody is about proclaiming the message of the gospel. And so what they're doing has lends itself in that direction, has that as its focus. Now let me ask you something here. It says, perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. You have been called to the ministry. Oh, yeah. You have been called to the ministry. Because as a saint, you're being perfected. You're in a place that has a ministry that needs to be worked, and who's going to be about the work of the ministry? I want you to realize something. I don't believe it is true in this place, but there are churches and there are people out in this world that believe salvation is a one-day experience. They get saved, they've got their way to heaven, and then it's all good. And those that are pastors and teachers can do the rest of the work. There are people that will sit in churches, and they come to church because they know it's the right thing to do, and then they go home. There's no ministry. What are we about here at the Christian Church of Royal Grove? We are about a people group. We are a people who need perfecting. Amen? Who've been called to the ministry. We need to be working. We need to be working in the ministry. And let's face it, this is helpful, isn't it? Because when you wake up, like when I was land surveying, all right, it's a very different world. It was sure helpful for me to realize that me going into the office and driving with, you know, with these different guys who did not know the Lord, I had a burning within me for them to know Jesus. And that sure helped on those frustrating days. And it sure helped me to know how to love these people who so often were unlovable. Perhaps, I know you have different experiences, but yet the reality is true. You've been called to the work of the ministry, church. And so we have saints who need perfecting, we have ministry that needs to be worked, and we have the body of Christ that needs to be edified. For the edifying of the body of Christ, edifying is building up. We're doing a men's conference, building God's men. And that's kind of where I got that little name. You know, building God's man. We need to be building, edifying the men of God. Well, the church is the body of Christ. Do you know that? You're the body of Christ. Don't you like that image? I mean, God in his masterful inspiration of the scriptures, he gave us that image. The body of Christ. Who's the head? Jesus is the head. You mean it's not the pastor? Say that a little louder. No, I want you to know that, all right? It's not the pastor, okay? It is not the pastor. Jesus is the head, and we together are the body of Christ. And each of us has a part, has a role. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just want you to see this. And again, this may be review for some, but I believe the Lord wanted us to review these things today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Corinthian church we're abusing the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, the gifts that God had given to them so that they could operate as a healthy body. And they were abusing them, taking advantage, using them for their own gain. And so Paul gives them instructions on how to properly understand them. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Understand that God is giving you His Spirit, and with the Spirit comes the giftedness to be a part of that body so the body of Christ can operate and be healthy. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. A lot more could be said in that context. I'm going to leave it with that understanding, the general understanding that we are the body of Christ made up of many members. And so the body of Christ, it needs to be edified. It needs to be built up. It needs to be bolstered. That is not a, I do not take that as necessarily we need to add a lot of numbers to the body of Christ. Now, it is important to see the body of Christ grow. And how's that happen? Well, you're about the work of the ministry, proclaiming the gospel. But what I see here in this edifying of the body of Christ is that there is this strengthening that takes place, this exercising, so that the body of Christ is healthy and well. And how does that strength come about? You're using it. You are using your muscles. You are flexing and exerting what you have. And so, church, the call for us as we build up, as the building up of the body of Christ, is we are to be about encouraging one another to flex the spiritual muscles, the gifts that God has given to us, to be about using them so that the body of Christ is benefited and becomes stronger. One of the joys that I have as your shepherd, as your pastor, is being a part of that process of working alongside of you to accomplish a certain task or an event or whatever it might be. Such as last night, I loved how many of you were involved in that process. All kinds of people, different people. Some of you hadn't helped on things like that before, and it was a joy to see you come and help and serve in that. And what a good time it was. Were you tired? Yes, you're tired. But it was a good tired. You know what I mean? You ever have that good tired feeling? I'm exhausted, but boy, I'm glad I got here. So there are saints that need perfecting, need to be matured and completed. There's a ministry that needs to be worked, and there's a body of Christ that needs to be edified and built up. And so what Paul does is he gives us the image of what this is to look like, because you know what? If we don't have the goal, what are we shooting for? And this is another reason why it's important periodically to reorient ourselves. What's the goal? What are we shooting for? And look at what he says, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. So we understand that unity of the faith is important. And one of the joys of when people ask me about how are things going at the church, this is kind of some of the grid that I go through. One of the things I say is God has given us a unity. For this amount of people to get along, for an extended amount of time, hopefully for a long time. The very fact that we could chuckle about that tells us we understand how volatile people and relationships can be, right? And so when we see a church operating in unity, it says something, doesn't it? It says God is at work in this place. In order for unity to be accomplished, though, it does mean something. Sacrifice. It does mean that you don't always get the way you want it. There's a flex. But what I have found to be the key to unity, and this is why I am so avid and sharing and reminding you of this, is that Jesus Christ is our head. And if you are looking to Jesus, and I am looking to Jesus, then we're looking in the same direction. And we're going to have the same mind and same heart. And so we look for unity in the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. What are we about? Knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. When you come to church, are you hungry to learn more about Him? To know more of who He is and what He thinks and what He's like and what He says? Know Him. The knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what God is doing here in the inspiration of the Scriptures through Paul is He's given the illustration of the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is the head. And the ultimate completion is that this body is complete in that it looks and acts and it talks just like Jesus. And what that does for us is it doesn't paint the picture of some model or person or man or program, whatever. It doesn't paint that picture. That's not what we're going for. We're going for Jesus Christ. And notice I don't have any pictures or models because Jesus Christ is pictured for us here. This is how we get to know Him. And the Word of God is the most accurate depiction for us, so that we can be then the accurate depiction for the world. You see, Jesus came to this earth. He was here, human flesh. This world saw God. They saw Him. They heard Him. They talked with Him. But Jesus, in God's divine plan, went back to heaven. He's on the right hand of the Father. And He sent His Spirit, and His Spirit is at work in the church of which you are a part of, and the Spirit is seeking to make us like Jesus. Jesus still has a voice, and He still has a presence on this earth, and it is us. This is all important because we can be like children who lack the experience, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Children don't have the teaching and the foundation by the sleight of men. Children can be easily deceived, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. The reality is that we need to be taught. We need to grow, because this is true of us. Because none of us are born saved individuals, and so we're all growing up. We're all start out as little babes in Christ. We all do. And so we all start out there. We're all starting out as children, and so therefore the propensity to be deceived is there. And so therefore the church must be faithful in these things so that we are not deceived, but rather growing to be more like Christ. Well, what are we about, church? We are made up of a body of believers. It's individuals. And the question is, what are you about first? Do you know the good news of Jesus? Because if you don't know the good news of Jesus, and you are not a believer here today, then you're not a part of the church. No matter you come and you sit in the seats every Sunday, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not a part of this body we're talking about. And you will be continually frustrated until you come to know Him. You are saints that need perfecting. We are saints who need perfecting. It's okay to admit that. In fact, we need to. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, right? And He shall lift you up. It's a good place to be. There is a ministry that needs to be worked. And that's us who does that work. The ministry is the evangelism of the world. The ministry, that is our ministry. What did Jesus say to His disciples before He ascended into heaven? Go ye into all the world and make disciples, right? Teaching them, baptizing them. This world needs to hear the gospel. And that's what we're about. We are not a social club. We have a good time together. But if that's all it is, then what in the world are we doing? There is a ministry, and you have been called to the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. You are Christ's body. He is our head. We serve Him. And we need to flex those spiritual muscles so that this body is growing and healthy. And I know it begins with the pastor and teacher and the leadership of this church. And as God enables us to flex the muscles of teaching and of preaching, of pastoring, it will help you and encourage you in flexing your muscles of helps, of service, and other things that God has given in your life that you can contribute to the body of Christ. Are you busy about the work of the ministry? Are you a part of that edifying of the body of Christ? It is a joy, again, to be your pastor. But I have to say that it is such a comfort to know that it doesn't rise and fall on me. It rises and falls on Jesus Christ, and let's keep our eyes on Him. Let's remember what we are about. We are saints who need to be perfected. There's a ministry that needs to be worked, and there is a body of Christ that needs to be alive and built up and strong. You need to be a part of it. You need to be a part of it. And if you're not, come, let's talk. Let's see what we can do. Because God has so many things. I get all these different things in my mind of different things that maybe God would want us to do. And God is at work in our community. And I'm excited to see what He's going to do through us. God, I thank You for the Word of God. And I thank You for orienting us again. I thank You for the precious truth that we are able to have in our hands, to read in our language. And so, God, I pray for the Gideon ministry as they are an extension of the local church. They are part of a local church, and they're about the work of the ministry. And I pray that You would bless them, that Ken and John would be strengthened and encouraged in their inner man, and as having been with us today, Lord, that they might be comforted from the assaults of the world, that, Lord, they would be, their eyes would be open to increased opportunities. But, Lord, I pray that those things would be true for us as well. Lord, we pray for the state of New York. I pray that, Lord, this day of mourning that will take place, I pray that it would be a profitable time in your sight, Lord Jesus. And that, God, by your will, would you get the attention of the world on the atrocities that are before us. I pray, Father, that you would use your word to nourish and enrich hearts this week. I pray that we would have a hunger to feed on it. And until we meet again, Lord Jesus, we look forward to your soon coming. We say, Maranatha, O Lord, come. And whether we meet again in this place or whether we meet in the air, we know we will meet again. In Jesus' name. Amen.